Bibles tonight and turn with us while you're standing to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 14. 1 Samuel, chapter 14. I want to thank Pastor Barton for putting up with us again this year and allowing us to come. And I do appreciate how the Lord has helped us in these meetings. And I thank Him for all of His blessings. He's just been so good. And I really do. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to just get right into the message. And I'm going to read tonight several verses beginning in verse 22. That's 1 Samuel chapter 14. If you have a Schofield Reference Bibles, page 333. All right. Look at verse 22. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore, he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint." Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood." We'll stop reading there. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had to be in these services and how you've helped us all the week long and all that you're doing. Lord, what you've done, we've been able to see so much more that we've been unable to see. God, you've been a-working, and we just want to say to God, be all glory, all honor, and all the praise. Lord, bless your holy name. Now, God, help us tonight. We're needful. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. God, we just beg you to show mercy on us tonight. Give us that touch we so desperately need to deliver our soul. Anoint us and give us a measure of liberty. Help this congregation tonight. Minister grace to the hearer. And may everything redound to the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 25 said, "And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground." I want to preach tonight on the subject of honey in the wilderness. honey in the wilderness. The scene before us is a battlefield scene. Israel was greatly outnumbered and outarmed by the Philistines. In fact, the Philistines had disarmed them. And they didn't even have any swords among them except Saul and Jonathan. With all the troops that Israel had, somehow or another, the devil had disarmed them. But anyway, as you read on into chapter 14, you'll find that Jonathan, by faith in God, made a miraculous attack upon the Philistines. And when he did so, God intervened in an earth-shaking way. And at this point where we've read tonight, the Philistine host was now on the run. Seeing this, those Israelites who had before fled because they were so vastly outnumbered, we find out that they come out of their dens and their hiding places. They took courage and came out and joined in the pursuit in fighting against the Philistines along with Saul and his men. But when I look at this, I think about man as we look over this battlefield occurrence here. I'm glad in the midst of the battle that God will give His servant a little sweetness. And I'm glad for that. So let me introduce it this way as we look here. I want you to think about this day as we consider this text. It was a day of awesome victory. Oh yes, you see Jonathan and his armor bearer, hey, used of God to put the Philistines to flight. Hey brother, it was a day of awesome victory. But I hasten to say, verse 23 says, so the Lord saved Israel that day. He used instruments. He responded to the faith of Jonathan. Oh, yes. And brother, I'm telling you what, it was a day of awesome victory. But then secondly, it was a day of an awful vow. Now Saul, by the way, Saul's already been, my friend, notified that his kingdom's not going to continue. He was disobedient to the command of God. And God already had set him aside, and the Lord was looking for somebody that was after his own heart. Saul is a type of the fleshly man and the carnal man that is self-centered, egocentric. And that's what Saul was. And his vow here was an uncalled for vow. And it was vowed just to satisfy his own ego. Notice how he said it. Cursed be any man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. He wasn't interested in God's people, in God's enemies. He is just wanting to keep his name as being the big boy on the block. He was egocentric, the fleshly, carnal, disobedient man. On the other hand, Jonathan is a type of the spiritual man that attempts great exploits for God. Amen. And I'm telling you what, he knew that God could save by many or few. God was not limited, and he trusted God and had victory. But even though God granted a day of awesome victory, here we now are confronted with an awful vow. Now, when Saul made this vow, that day of victory now has turned to a day of distress. Look at the text, Verse 24, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eats anything. Hey, here, brother and sister, there's distress among the people of God. These people became weak. They became weary. They became physically depleted of energy in their pursuit. What should have been, my friend, a camp meeting has turned into a sad situation. Boy, the Bible said, and the men of Israel were distressed that day because of this awful vow. But then not only is this a day of awesome victory and a day of an awful vow, but it was in fact a day of abundant victuals. Oh yes, you see, God knew His people were in the fight. And along the course, the avenue of their attack, God had positioned, hallelujah, to supply, amen, to minister to the troops, amen. And He didn't just put a little bit out there. Bless God, He put hands full. Amen. I'm telling you what. They came into the wood, into the wilderness. And my friend, and there was honey on the ground. There was honeycomb. It was accessible. It was sweet. It was adequate. It would give them strength. It helped them to go on another mile. Hey, brother, I want to tell you what. It was a day of abundant victuals. God knows what enemy you're fighting. God knows that you need some energy to keep up the fight. I don't know if any of you guys have ever boxed or wrestled. I wrestled a little bit. I was a better wrestler than I was a boxer. I've got undercut too many times and got knocked flat on my back of boxing. But I know one thing, if you're in a fight, if you've ever been in a fight, and some of these old redneck mountain boys have been in fights. Hello, I said a fight. I'm talking about knocked down, drag out fight. I mean, we know what it is to scrap. But I'll tell you what a fight will do. It'll wear you slap out. You watch some of these professional fighters. They train month in and month out, year in and year out with weights running all over the place. And my friend, they start fighting and you see they're hugging one another. Well, they're not making love. They're give out. They're war slap out. You get in a fight, it'll wear you out. It'll deplete your energy. And God knew His people were fighting the enemy, and He knew where they were going. And so in their route, God put some honey. Amen. And that honey is on purpose. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! I want to tell you what. And God put plenty of it out there for them. Amen. I want to talk about that honey a little bit. And I got 7 brief points. No sub points. Thank God for that. Except for one. I'm bad about making 7 main points. And on one point it's so lopsided I'll have 15 sub points on one. My hermeneutics and homiletics teacher would have he'd have a fit. But that's just what I'm doing the best I can do. This is Rudy. Hey. And Rudy gets in trouble because I open my mouth and change feet a lot of times. As you all very well know. I'll not go there, Lord. I want to see something about the honey. Let me mention number 1, honey in the woods. The Bible said they came into a land. They came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. He didn't put it up in high, lofty places where they had to climb or in the trees way up high. My friend, it was on the ground. It was where the weakest of them could get to it. Even if, my friend, they were bowed over with weariness, there's honey in the wood. Honey in the wood. I thought about this thing. The blessing of honey. The bounty of this honey. The benefit of this honey. Number one, the blessing of honey. Well, I'll tell you what's the blessing about it. It gives you some sweetness in the journey. It gives you some sweetness in the battle. It is a good fight of faith we're in. But it's not all bitter, bless God. Every once in a while, God will sit down like He did last night and kick the honey bucket over. There's sweetness in the journey. I think about the sweetness of His, of divine provision. Oh, listen, when the Lord led His people out of Egypt, He led them to a land that was flowing with, did you hear that? Flowing. Flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. In fact, 20 times in the Old Testament, the land of Canaan is referred to as a land of flowing with milk and honey. God's provision. He provided for them some honey for sweetness in their journey. I'm glad that God has got some sweetness for us. I'm glad life is not all bitter. Man's days are few and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. And sure, there's heartaches and heartbreaks in the life of God's people. But God has so fixed it. Bless God, along with the trial and along with the battle, He's going to give us some honey along the way. Hey, and you can, bless God, dip your spiritual rod of faith in that honey and get you some honeycomb and go on another mile or two. I thought about the sweetness of provision. I think about the sweetness of divine precepts. David said this, Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Right here is God's honeycomb. Right here, accessible, adequate, hallelujah, applicable. Hey, you can get in this book. It's sweeter than honey. It's the sweet word of God. How many battles have you and I been in? We've been whooped up, tired, wore out. My soul. And the next thing you know, we'll walk over, amen, and pick up that Bible and open it. And God, amen, He'll kick a honey bucket over, and one verse that you've read 1,000 times, hey, it'll jump out at you, and you'll get a hold of that and say, that is good. I'm talking about the sweetness of His precepts. David said in Psalm 19:10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." How good is the sweetness of divine precepts? Amen. I thought about not only the sweetness of His precepts, but I thought about the sweetness of His presence. Oh my, When God sits down, the Almighty manifests His glory. It's the sweetest experience there is on this side of heaven. When God makes you have a running spell and you get the can't help it, and God turns that honey bucket over in your soul, can you tell me anything sweeter than His presence? About the sweetness of His person. He is altogether lovely. He, my Lord, is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Hey, can you tell me anything better than Jesus? Sweet Rose of Sharon. Hey, brother, the sweetness of His person. I thought about the sweetness of His path, or the sweetness in the path. That's what I like. They're fighting the enemy. Verse 22, this crowd followed hard after them in the battle. Verse 23, the battle passed over unto Bethaven. All right, so they're still in pursuit, but they're weary. They're still pursuing the Philistines. They go on down through here, and they continue to follow the Philistines. But what I want you to see is this, that God had in the path just exactly what they needed to get the job done. And if they'd stop, amen, and got what they was given by God, hey, the battle would have been much bigger. It would have been much better. There would have been a greater victory. Hey, because God knows when to drop sweetness in our path. Oh, yes, the blessing of this honey. Let me mention about the bounty of it. The land was called a land what? Flowing with milk. Hey, man, there's a lot of it, Brother Lee. There's a lot. It's a flowing. Hey, it's on the ground. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. God's got enough. He knows how many. Amen. He's not going to let one of His soldiers be without. Bless God. He's got enough, and God is enough. And I bless His name. He's not a stingy God. He's not going to halfway do anything. He's going to do it. He's going to give super abundantly above all that we may ask or think. The bounty of this honey. Amen. Then the benefits of this honey. Whew. I'll tell you, it'll benefit. Hey, it brings some sweetness. Some of y'all look like you need some honey. Maybe it's the honey you're sitting with, hello, that you're out of fellowship with. I don't know. I'll leave that alone. Done been there this week and done that, and I don't want to go back there no more. I don't know if she's going to let me in the car the other night or not. She drove off and I was trying to get in, holding on to the handle. Y'all pray for Miss Rosie. But it's all better now. And hallelujah, and I've got some honey. Hallelujah, sweetness in my life. Not only of my brother and sister is the benefit sweetness, but there's a benefit of strength. Man, that honey, I'm telling you, you talk about charged up with the right kind of sugars, and I'm not talking about man-made processed sugars, but I'm talking about divine originated genuine bee puke. Yes, I'm telling you, it's good. Man, I'm telling you what, if I could have a canned head biscuit right now and about a quart of sourwood honey. Amen. Just as clear. Hey, I believe I could have a spell. Could I tell you, brother? But listen, you take somebody, my friend, that they need a quick energy boost. They'll eat a candy bar or they'll eat, you know what I'm saying? But hey, God's natural sweetness produced by those that He's made to produce sweetness. You talking about giving a man some energy and giving some man some strength. Bless God, it'll make him stand up tall and head for the fight. And I want to say, not only the purpose for sweetness and strength, but also for your sight. It'll help how you look at things. You get to the honey, you'll see things differently. Y'all look at me kind of funny. Don't look at me like that. I'm in the text. I'm out of the book. I'm right here. Look at this. Look at this, and we look in this situation here in verse number 27. Jonathan, he didn't hear this off. You know why? He's out fighting the devil. He's been God's warrior. He's been at work. He ain't been laying around up there like Saul, hid out and quaking. He'd been fighting God's battle. So he didn't hear that backslid oath. That's what it was. Well, he didn't hear when his father charged the people. Wherefore, he put the end of his rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. Now, will y'all read that next statement? And his eyes were enlightened. Bless God. I mean, he's wore out, so tired he couldn't hardly see. But when he dipped that tip of that into the honeycomb, and I can just see him bring up a big wad of honeycomb, bless God, and put it to his mouth, and his eyes, instead of drooping, whoo, man, that's good stuff. Hallelujah. Show me another backslid Philistine. I'm ready for the fight. Well, don't say that, but it don't say that. So,
amen,
verse 29, then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little honey. I'm telling you, some of your eyesight has got so clouded and you've got, amen, where you can't see out beyond your nose. Hey, what you need to do is to get to God's honey bucket, amen, and get a little of His honey and it'll open your eyes, amen. It'll help your sight. Say amen right there. Oh, I'm talking about honey in the woods. I got to hurry on. Number two. That was the one that had all them subpoints. The rest of them be real quick. Not only honey in the woods, but there's honey for the warrior. Oh, yes. Who's the one that got to the honey? The one that had faithfully fought the battle. God's warriors will be rewarded. There will be sweetness in their journey. Boy, and the Bible says here that Jonathan, he's the only one of that whole crowd, probably his armor bearer with him. But Jonathan is the only one, that whole crowd, that tasted the honey and got his eyes open good and got his strength back. Hallelujah, because God rewards His warriors. Let me, Brother Mark Stroud and I both were in a meeting at Brother Tony Hudson's. And we heard an old mountain preacher preach from this text. He didn't have no fancy outline. He just got up and preached it with God all over him. Mark went home, got him a message. I went home, got me a message on this message. Preached in my church, had 3 fits and a quare spell. Put it in my Bible, headed to Brother Sammy Allen's. I had the outline ready to preach, and I knew I was going to preach sometime. And Brother Mark Stroud was up there, and he had his outline. He got up and preached the message before I could. So part of this is from Brother Mark. And that's all right, Brother Mark. You can have part of the love offering in your dreams. I was thinking about Jonathan's great victory that he wrought in the early part of this chapter. Now, I added two brothers, Mark, but I think about, if you read back here, and I ain't going to go into all of this, but let me just give this to these preachers. And all my Mount Sinai Baptist Church crowd, y'all always raise your hand, all of this from Mount Sinai Baptist Church. Now, listen, okay, what y'all need y'all to do is stick your finger ears right now, okay? Because I'm going to preach this Sunday. And I want y'all to think I don't ever study. But I want you to see here about Jonathan's great victory in the early part of this. He had a plan. He had a plan that was acceptable. Oh, yeah. He said in verse 1 to his armor bearer, said, come, let's go. Let's go attack these Philistines. He kind of laid out a fleece on in this chapter and said, hey, we'll show ourselves to them. If they say, come up hither, said, we'll know that the Lord, by this sign, we shall know. Hey, well, I'm telling you what, he had a plan. Hey, it was an audacious plan. It was a brave plan. I'm telling you what, brother and sister, and they were just two. There were thousands of Philistines. And hey, but he had a plan that was acceptable. And God's, amen, let his sign come true. So there's a plan that's acceptable, but then there was a path that is accessible. You see that you look in verse number 4 and verse 5. You have these sharp rocks, each on either side. One side is where the Philistines' camp is. The other side is where Saul and his army is. And there's a deep ravine. There's a pass. There is a way of access to the enemy camp. There is a path that is accessible. Then there's a partner that is available. And hey, who is it? Well, you look down there in verse 7, and the armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Amen. I'll be right there with you. Hey, brother, I'm glad I'm not in this thing alone. I'm glad God will give you some partners, fellow laborers. Now, not only was there a path accessible and a partner available, but then there was a power that was astronomical. Oh, yeah. Look at this in verse number 6. And Jonathan said unto the young man that bears armor, come, let us go over this unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Look at this statement. For there is no restraint. No restraint to the Lord. He hadn't got his hands tied. He's not bound by you or me or what we done or what we think. He is a God who is the Lord without restraint. Amen. And for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or few. You read on in that story, they revealed themselves to the Philistines. They called them up. They went up there, bless God, climbing up on their hands and feet. And bless God, they got up there. They didn't wait to rest. They went on the attack. And they began to attack those Philistines in about a half an acre field, killed 20 of them. That armor bearer got him a sword. He was a fighting right after behind him. And bless God, besides all of that, God showed up. God didn't just show up. God shook up. There's an earthquake, bless God. And then he shook them up. And they got to turning on each other. Confusion in the army. God was a working of mighty power. All he's looking for is somebody that I dare to believe God. That's the warrior here. But guess what? All of that fighting he done, he kept a fight, fought all day long, bless God. But God's got him a little honey over there. He knows where he's headed, and he knows where to put it in the path. And God has honey in the woods, but he has honey for the warrior. You say, well, I ain't got no honey lately. Maybe you ain't a fighting. Amen. Fight the good fight. Y'all ready? Go on a little further now. Not only honey for the warrior, but I read on through here and I see this truth. There's honey for the weary. Yeah, there is. The Bible said in verse 28, the last statement, and the people were faint. They were faint. They hadn't had anything to eat. They'd been fighting all day. Saul put a curse on anybody to eat anything. And man, I'm telling you, they were so weary. They were so weary. But God had honey for them. God had it there for them. Oh, I'm so glad that He takes knowledge of us when we get weary. Oh, brother and sister, and we all get weary, do we not? We're all made out of the same flesh and blood. There is an inherent weakness that's in us, and we get so weary, so tired. But aren't you glad, even in our weariness, God in His great mercy will provide some honey along the way. You see, not only did the warrior come by the honey farm, but bless God, the weary were there too. But they let the carnal oath of the fleshly man robbed them from this blessing of honey. The old carnal man will rob you from divine sweetness. Can you see that truth? You'll get weary, but God's got some honey. But you'll have to follow the spiritual man and not the carnal man if you're going to eat God's honey. That's good preaching, bless God, even if I am doing it. Say amen right there. There's not only honey in the woods and honey for the warrior and honey for the weary, but there's honey for the weak. Look at verse 31. It kicks it up a notch. Verse 28, and the people were faint. Verse 31, and the people were very faint. They're on their last leg. They can't go any further. They are so weak, they can't continue in the battle. Are you here tonight just so weak that you have not strength enough to get up and fight the good fight of faith? You hadn't got strength enough, my friend, to stand for God. What you need is get to God's honey. But again, if you listen to the Saul, the old fleshly, self-centered, egocentric flesh nature, it'll keep you from the honey every time. I'm almost done. Not only honey for the weak, but I'm going to say this. This honey's out there for the warfare. Amen. I mean, and what I'm going to say about that, if you don't eat well, you cannot fight well. Now, mess sergeants aren't very popular in the army, but they're necessary. Say amen right there. If you don't eat well, you can't fight well. Any of you who's ever trained for sports, you got to eat right. If you do right in the contest, hey, we're in. Hey, and God wants us to eat well. Amen? And I'll tell you what, brother, if you don't eat well, you can't fight well. And bless God, this honey, you know what it is? It's fighting food. You eat this honey, it'll give you energy for some more fighting. Amen? It's fighting food. I'm thinking about this honey was available, accessible, and it was adequate. It was food for the warfare. If they'd eat that, you think things had turned out, my friend, like it did? Oh, no. It'd have been a bigger victory than ever before. Amen? If you just eat right. If you get to God's honey. Some of y'all's been so long since you've had a honey bucket kicked over in your soul. You're so weak. You're so weary. You're so defeated. But God has got honey in the wilderness for His youngin'. Not only honey for the warfare. Two other things, this is real brief. But honey to enable us to win. I'm going to read this verse here. Now, Jonathan knew, the spiritual man, he knew the carnal man, what the carnal man had done was wrong. Verse 29, and said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. You see how when I eat this honey, how my eyes were enlightened. Look at verse 30. Pardon me. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely today. Huh? If they wasn't under some carnal restraint. If they wasn't listening to the flesh man. You say, hey, how much more? Look at the last statement. For had there not been, in verse 30, had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? You think the Philistines got whooped pretty good here? They did. But if that army had a stop by a man like Jonathan the warrior and got them some honey, bless God, that whole outfit have been wiped out, and this bunch of Palestinian devils that are attacking Israel right now might not even be around. Say amen right there. I'm in the book. Honey enables us to win. Hey, get the God's honey pot. Amen. Get to God's honey. Eat and strengthen your soul. Get your sight restored. Get, hallelujah, filled with the Holy Ghost. Full of the Word of God. Amen. Touch the glory. That honey typifies the Word. Amen. It typifies the Lord Jesus. It typifies the glory of God. Boy, if you can get to the glory, to get that glory getting in your soul, it'll sweeten up some of these sour pusses that sit in our churches. Bless God, it's been so long since some have been to the honey bucket. I'm telling you what, hey, God wants us to be winners. He's made us more than conquerors in Christ. A lot of people living far below their privilege. I'm going to end with this one other thing here. We're talking about honey. Honey in the woods, honey for the warrior, honey for the weary, honey for the weak, honey for the warfare, honey that enables us to win. But there's one other thing I want to address in verse 32. Honey that'll enable us to wait. You see, these people had listened to the flesh. They listened to the carnal man. They missed God's blessings and God's best. And what they do, they ate wrong. If you don't eat right, you'll eat wrong. That's what happened. That's what some people do. They forsake the honey pots of God's glory, and they'll go and do, and they'll eat sinfully, and they'll corrupt themselves. There was a command, and all of Israel knew it, that they could not eat the flesh with the blood. But they had listened to the flesh, they had missed the honeycomb, and they fly in on the spoil and eat the flesh with the blood and sin against God. The thing we need to do is get our young people to the honey. Amen. If we'll get them to the honey, they'll have enough sense to wait and amen, and to do what's right. But if they don't get to the honey, they'll be eating in an evil fashion and feeding on things that God said not to feed on. Man. God kicked that honey bucket over last night. Woo! When's the last time you've been to the honey? I enjoyed that honey last night. Woo! You believe God's still God? You believe God still can? Hey, are you looking for some honey? You said, I'm in a fight, I'm weary. I'd be down here in this altar on my face asking God to let me close my ears to the fleshly man. Amen. The egocentric of carnal man and his oath that would rob us. I'd say, God, I want to die out to the old man. I want to, by faith, eat some of your good honey. Let God lift your soul.